Giselle. I'm so happy to be here. It is the Giselle Show podcast. Meet friends. Yay! Where we are being real, having fun, talking about it, making stuff up, but not necessarily in that order. We are very excited to be here today. I have some special guests who I like so much. Well, two of them. The other one.
Hey,
now we all know who it is.
We not all it. Know.
Not it.
Here with
I know it's not me.
It's me.
Here with us today is comedian and host and travel writer, Mr. J. Keith Van Stratton.
Hello.
Ooh.
Only one person applauds. Okay.
I was applauding with my throat.
Two, three. Blah, 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 blah.
I bet you have to get closer to the mic.
Why,
if I had
not
to guess.
Applauding.
Oh, well, I don't like to applaud my own horn.
I understand.
It dent the metal when you do it. J. Keith can be tweeted at J_Keith, which That's is not hard to say at all.
Thank you.
We're very happy to have you here.
Thank you. Yeah. I'm happy to be here as well.
Excellent. Also with us today is comedian and host of the Nooner podcast, Miss Cassandra Cardenas.
Hi, everybody.
Hello.
Thank you for the applause.
And your tweet, if people want to tweet at you, is at Cass Cardenas.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is. I'm happy to see you.
I'm happy to see you, too.
I you come in today and I say, you look so nice. And you say, oh, this is just my work clothes.
Yeah, that's what I usually say. I like to, you know, blow off compliments so I get more.
Like, even if you're on a date and you're all dressed up and they just say,
oh, this is just my work clothes.
It's a good strategy.
They think I'm a hooker.
Am I allowed to say the place that is on your shirt?
I prefer you didn't,
okay,
in
so
case
it,
people
but
found
do you actually
me.
Work there?
I do actually work there.
I love that
why
place.
You so
do you really?
Why are you so ashamed of Petco?
Damn it.
Yeah, but which Petco? A creepy guy out there listening right now. You don't know which Petco. So.
Yeah.
Store number
232. Oh. Why does it say that on the shirt?
Well, they're going to have to know how to use the internet and go find that number. So.
Hey, you know what they say about Petco?
What?
It's where the pets go.
Oh. Mm, they do say that.
Yeah.
Well, they will now.
There's
did you write that?
No, I read it on a advertising.
Okay. I didn't know.
Do you know, so you know I was raised in Germany, and they over there they really appreciate order and rules. And
leather.
Lederhosen.
Meats.
All this was
beer
put into me from a young age. So whenever I go into Petco and I see pets there, there's still some, what do you call, vestigial German rule follower that say, no dogs in the store.
Yeah.
And then I remember, no, I'm in Petco. It's allowed.
You stop yourself before you're
yelling
at the people.
Yeah, show me your dog's papers. I don't say it.
That's good.
Yeah.
As long as you can stop before you say it, I think it's fine.
I have to put my mind to it. I'm not going to lie.
I think most of us, if we were not able to stop ourselves from saying things, would be in a lot of trouble.
What would you say if you was not able to stop yourself?
Oh, from saying things?
Yeah.
Like,
you
well,
stop
like that.
Yourself?
I wish I hadn't said that right now so that this conversation wouldn't be happening.
We can go back.
I would
back
go
in
back
time.
And I wouldn't say that.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is our third guest, Mr. John Pirocello.
Yay.
Clapping my own horn. Thank you.
Actor, comedian, improviser, and also host of the Nooner podcast.
Oh, yeah.
And he can be tweeted at John Pirocello. And I'm going to spell Pirocello.
Oh, thanks.
Pirrucello.
I wish I had an underscore. J. Keith is making me want an underscore.
Where would you put it?
The trick is to have somebody who already has your name without the underscore who won't sell it to you.
Oh, I hate
even
that guy.
Even though you've tried to buy it from them.
Right.
What did you offer?
I didn't. I said, what do you want for it?
That might be the
issue. He said an exorbitant amount. And so
did he wrote exorbitant or he wrote a
that, no, that was my analysis. Okay. No, okay. He gave
the
specific
number. He sounds like an evil villain.
Yeah, he said, you, what do I want for it? Use your imagination.
Right.
Okay, because
I believe
whatever you're thinking is not high enough.
Right. I believe it was in the $5,000 to $10,000 range.
Oh my goodness! Or
I would rather change my own name than pay that amount of money.
I think that's what it costs to change your name.
Is that right?
$10,000.
You looked into it?
Yeah, I did look into it. Yeah.
What would you change your name to?
I would change it to John_Puricello.
I think you should change it to John_Piru_Cello.
Ooh.
Oh,
just to keep it fresh.
Right.
Very nice.
I like your non-traditional underscore placement.
I actually had a before I moved to Hollywood, and back when I thought, you know, I'd like to be in the movies. I was like, but a guy with my big name, clumsy name, could never be in the movies. I wonder what my name would be. And so these are the things that you don't say out loud, right? So I'm saying them out
What's
loud
What's your
now.
Movie name?
Well, I was thinking Johnny Piro. Like P-I-R-R-O, right?
See
like, that was my, you know, whatever, I'm like 19 or something. When
I would
I'm
totally IMDb
Piro.
That.
Yeah.
Johnny Piro.
Johnny Piro.
Yeah. And I thought it was like a he sounds like a danger guy or something. Johnny Piro.
Is Johnny Piro here? No, he skateboarded today. He'll be here soon.
He's off spying.
Yeah.
That's right.
On the government.
The
He plays three sports, did you know?
The punster.
Three
in,
sport Johnny?
Yeah, three sport Johnny Piro.
The punster in me is now thinking of if he fell into a pool and was a ballet dancer, he would be Johnny Pirouette.
Mm.
Very nice. Oh,
ladies and gentlemen, that was our fourth
that?
Guest,
what?
Actress and storyteller, Miss Jonna Thomases.
Oh.
Yay.
Wow. Hello, hello. Wow. And also, I guess now you are doing puns? Well... My father has pun Tourette's.
Oh.
He can't help himself.
Oh, God, how sad.
Oh,
really
my,
it is.
Terrible.
It's very annoying.
Well, the whole show is being brought down now.
Yeah. So sometimes it just comes out and I can't help
because
myself.
Because your father has it.
Try to keep that in check if you can, just for the show. Okay, I will.
Wow, a lot of tension in the room now. Ever since that John.
This is yeah,
so
cloud
sad.
Over the show now. Your father's right here.
This is like what you were saying about, do you wish you could take it back? I do. I do.
Okay,
totally.
Okay, now we're all cool.
Johnny Piro!
You're vulnerable just like us, so we're good. We're good now.
Yeah. You're human. That's all right.
Yeah, you're
Thank
human.
You, guys.
No.
Thank you.
Weren't you Jonna Tomato or something at one
that's,
point?
Yes. That
she
is
currently Jonna Tomato.
Jonna Tomato.
That's my Twitter handle.
Jonna
okay,
Tomato.
So everyone can tweet to you at Jonna Tomato.
Underscore.
Where would it go?
If only.
I would put it before the mo.
Jonna Tom _Ato.
Oh, Ato. Oh, I would make it the number 8.
Yeah.
Number
yes.
8. 8 -O. _O. Yeah.
Hyphen underscore.
Like, hyphen underscore.
Tomb.
The rare hyphen underscore.
That's combo.
A good one. You should do it. Okay.
I don't think she's going to do it, you guys.
I'm not going to do it.
Oh, wow.
I think
somebody
the least amount of shifts you can put in yours is what's important.
Do you know, do you guys know from the Nuno podcast, probably you don't know him, J. Keith, but you know Senor Smoke?
I'm familiar.
I'm certainly a fan.
He changed his name, so he's got umlauts and accent aigu and all kinds of symbols on his name.
You mean on his handle?
Yeah, Senor Smoke.
Yeah.
He have all kinds of extra symbols.
God bless him.
I love that guy.
You don't realize it, but you're foreshadowing a story that I'm going to tell later.
Oh.
Or, and maybe you do realize it, and this is exceptionally well-planned and produced program.
Or she's reading your mind. Without asking first. You don't believe in that? No.
I always ask first.
See, that's...
Can I read your mind?
You can try. I don't think that's possible.
Let me see.
Okay.
The hummus was good. Maybe I should have more hummus.
No, that's me. You're reading my
You're in the wrong mind. You're in the wrong mind. Try again. Try
good.
Again.
You were aiming in the wrong direction.
It definitely is a special ability to be mind reading adjacent.
Yeah.
That's pretty
spectacular. Can we go close enough?
Close
try
enough.
Just
I don't
try
trouble.
It again.
Okay,
so
okay, try
it
again. Okay. Afterward, I'm going to go to P.F. Chang's.
That's mine.
So close. Very close.
I feel
close.
Like if she did it one more time, she would get it.
I think
unfortunately,
she's
I don't think we have time.
I don't think we have time.
Okay, let me go. Just let me try one more time.
Try one more time. Try
one more time. One more time.
Wrap it up.
One more time.
Show's almost over.
One more time. I really thought Johnny Pirouette was funny.
No, that's mine.
No, that's your. You're reading your own mind. You did your own.
No.
Oh, Jonas. I'm sorry. You did Jonas. Oh,
yeah.
Mine.
You did Jonas. Yeah, gotcha. Yeah. Yeah.
I know we look alike. Okay, let me try one more time.
Wow, that's it. How did you do that? That's exactly what I was thinking. Wow. All right. Skeptical me. I was certainly taught a lesson there. I mean, that was spot on.
This is why I love him so much. So listen, everybody. You know, sometimes I start with a monologue, and this is what I was thinking about this week. I listen to the NPR radio sometimes, and one of their sponsors or underwriters have a slogan, and I can't remember the underwriter.
The Annenberg Foundation?
Maybe.
Where
one
the pets
of them.
Go? The Annenberg Foundation.
Oh. But their slogan is, arts education is not disposable. In fact, it's the answer. And I was thinking about that.
It's a little arduous. It's kind of long.
A little, it's a long one.
Yeah.
I tried to Google it. I could not find the foundation. But I've been thinking about that slogan and what it means that arts education is the answer. And I was remembering it when I went to school class when I was a little kid and we start making art. It's like the first thing you do. We're going to make something out of macaroni, so, you know, noodles, this and that, paper we're cutting up, glue. One of the first projects we make was a windmill you make out of a toilet paper roll and then you put a little fan blades on there. Kind of like in here in America, you guys make the turkeys.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
You draw your little hand and you make a turkey.
You guys don't do that?
We don't do a turkey then.
Oh. They have turkey in Germany?
Yeah, we have some turkeys, but we don't...
Not Turkish people, turkeys.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
The gobble, gobble, gobble.
That's the one.
I've tasted it.
Gobble, gobble, gobble.
Gobble, gobble, gobble.
Sorry.
It hurt because it's funny, because it's true.
Well, I was thinking about actually in terms of art education, like, you know, what if Hitler had some encouragement, you know, for his art as a kid? Maybe
that's what they
might
say.
Have come out differently. Yeah.
Yeah, but then he would be an insufferable art student.
Well, but less people would have been.
Worse?
Did you read my
book? Yeah, that's true.
No,
I wrote a book. I'm being Hitler.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
It's called
Are you guys
income?
Gonna come to my art opening? Yeah. I have new series of paintings.
Oh, gee, Adolf.
We're gonna have a cheese plate.
But,
come on, you guys, we have a cheese.
No, hey, you I'm guys, sure. I just got into improv. You want to come see my show?
No. Oh,
Adolf.
What about that other plane you had with the race? The purity?
It's 11 o'clock on a weekday.
Maybe
so late.
Adolf, we're thinking maybe you should go with Plan B. I'm sure. Whatever if you have a Plan B, maybe start thinking about.
Okay, Yavol, if you say so, I'm going to do.
How bad could it be, guys? Come on, am I right?
His parents were probably thinking, you know, fall back, he'd be an accountant or something.
Well, he did count a lot of people.
He did a lot of counting.
Yeah.
What? Oh, that's what went over the line?
Yeah. No.
All right, sorry.
That's worse than Johnny Pirouette.
Oh.
Okay, so here's the things that... art classes teach others. So I was thinking, you guys made art when you was a kid, yeah? Did it give you basis of who you are today and who the artist, what you have become?
Nah.
Yes.
It's so hard to say. I mean, I when I think of my childhood, I think of a lot of art making.
Yeah.
You know, and I think of a lot of art making in school. It's hard for me to separate, like, what would have been different. I mean, certainly I was very hyperactive and... making art was one of the few times when I would sort of stop and focus on things. So, I don't know.
When you're acting crazy, they just say,
"Oh yeah,
give him something to crochet."
Apparently, color this. I saw the Maltese Falcon when I was a kid and loved it
Make
so much.
Make some confetti by hand.
I almost did that. It was that. This is similar to what you're saying. You're reading my mind.
Because
I went to make the Maltese Falcon, but I decided to make this cape of feathers around it, you know, like instead of like the real one doesn't have individual feathers, but I sat there and made little individual feathers. And my mother tells me that apparently that they would sort of like call it, you know, the teachers would call each other over and point and go, "Look what he's doing. He's like sitting there and making individual feathers." It's not funny because you don't know what a pain in the ass I was as a kid.
I'm just thinking your mother was probably so happy to just have something for you to do.
Yeah.
calm him down.
So I don't know. It's but yet the result, like, I don't know. I mean,
do you still have that Maltese Falcon?
I do. My mom has it. Yeah.
Displayed or hidden away in the garage?
Who knows what happens?
That's the true test.
When I go home, it's out. Who knows?
They say art classes teach kids to, and here come a long list, respect others, start a dialogue, experiment with materials, observe things, find their voice, self-evaluate, express themselves, learn from their mistakes, clean up their messes, reflect on their work, embrace diversity, persevere, have an opinion, appreciate beauty, break away from the stereotypes, envision solutions, value aesthetics, see another point of view, become innovative, and make connections.
Wow.
There's nothing wrong with any of those.
No, you couldn't argue with any of that stuff, really.
No.
Furthermore, it seems like art is kind of the only thing that's lasts, you know, in our society. I mean, nobody really remembers who the president was after a few years, but art seems to persevere, like, through history. I mean, that's kind of when we go back and look at cultures, it's kind of their art that's what's remains, right? I mean, so just, in terms of an output as well, and a value, if we're looking for value in our world.
Yeah, right. It's like the expression of a people.
Yeah.
Or something.
Exactly, yeah, right. You kind of get an idea of who they were based on what they were painting on the walls and whatever, right?
Those horses. Mm-hmm. Whenever I hear painting on the walls, I think of those horses.
Mm-hmm. The horses that paint on the wall?
They mostly draw outside the lines. Everything is hoof shape.
Yeah. That's rough.
Yeah.
Like those elephants that draw. They give an elephant a paintbrush.
Yeah.
In India, right?
Everywhere there's an elephant.
Oh, okay.
And people go, oh, it's an elephant who's painting.
Right.
But you know something? The paintings aren't that good.
Right. Also, I think if you gave an elephant a paintbrush and said, don't draw, they'd come up with the same thing. Like, yeah. I don't think they understand the concept of this is now the time when I draw versus this is when I drag this stick across colored.
What if you give an elephant and you say, don't think of yourself being pink?
Right.
You know how they always say, don't think of pink elephants?
Right.
Why do they say that?
I think it's to demonstrate that it's impossible to use a negative as a
right
way of
to not visualize something.
Yeah.
Right.
Like if I say to you, don't think of the letter I.
Uh-oh. There it is.
There it is. Right there. Yep.
Yeah. Well, you can't. There's no I in elephant, you know?
No.
Not, so my not, coach always
not
used
more
to
than
say.
Three or four of them.
My art coach used to always say, there's no I in elephant. Mm-hmm. And years later, I found out he was right.
Yeah.
That's the value of an art education.
Yeah.
Because then that would be an elephant.
Until and Apple makes an elephant.
No,
in but which case there will be.
Two
at
eyes.
At which point we will have the eye.
We
elephant.
Will have the eye elephant.
Right. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
Yeah. Elephant, yeah.
I was in a lot of arts education growing up. I was fortunate for that. Mm. And it, I think, definitely shaped who I am because I got, at a very young age, the desire to perform. So I was improvising and writing sketches in elementary school and still do that now.
What kind of sketches did you come up with in elementary school?
I was part of this thing called Odyssey of the Mind or Destination Imagination.
That was a cult.
Yeah.
Did you realize that now, looking back?
But do you remember the premises of any of the sketches that you wrote then?
We did this one sketch about going to Morocco, which during the sketch we also had to have a paper mache pasta structure that we would put weights on top of. This was how Destination Imagination worked, and it was like you competed with different people in the state and stuff like that.
It was
a
competition.
It was a competition.
And did the
so who were you performing for
or competing against?
Okay, exactly.
Other schools who do Destination Imagination. That year we got into nationals, so we got to go to Tennessee.
The hub of imagination.
Yeah, we stayed at the University of Tennessee.
Oh, nice.
But I think I played like a crocodile hunter type character in that, if I recall. And it was just about Moroccan food. And I forgot exactly how we got the weights on the pasta structure. But that was like one of the challenges to all the teams was you have to have this paper mache pasta structure. And who, like, you get points based on how much weight it holds before it breaks. Then you get points on your sketch, you know, of what it is. And then there's a separate competition that you don't find out until the day of. And it's points on your improv skills. Mm. And I'm in elementary school and middle school, and I did this until I moved to California.
Mm-hmm. Did you win?
We didn't win in Tennessee. No. Not
Tennessee,
one bit.
Man. That's like, that's where you make or break it right there. Yeah.
I mean, to be honest, like before that happened, I didn't even realize that there was something we could do past just going and doing it that one day. So like it wasn't really the kind of environment where like
they at least you had a dream,
or at least I wasn't aware that we were competing. I don't think I thought it was just like, oh cool, like this is, we get to do this and we get shirts and pins and, you know, I get to come up with as many things as I can to do with an oven mitt or whatever. Oh. The improv is. And then I did show choir in high school, and that's what turned me into a bitch.
A performing whore.
Huh?
A performing whore.
Yeah, a performing whore. Yeah. Because we were like the football team at my school because we were so good.
Really? The chorus was.
Huh?
The chorus was.
Well,
like
it
the
was show
team?
Choir.
Show choir.
Yeah.
What does that mean, show choir?
Singing and dancing, sequiny costumes. The show Glee is
Glee
about show choir.
Like show choir. Oh.
Yeah. So that was what I did in high school.
Was there an actual football team?
Oh, yeah.
How did they feel about being second banana to the choir?
You know, I think that they just dealt with it because, I mean, it kind of evened out. It's not like choir was like the popular kids. It just kind of like evened out, and then there was no popular kids. So I was in a very healthy high school environment.
Interesting.
Very lucky.
Yeah, I don't relate to that at all.
No.
What about you, Jonah? I remember I used to do, did you guys do like lip syncing? I was always doing lip syncing with my friends. Did you guys do that?
Yeah.
Like making up dance routines?
No,
yes.
No, I wasn't dance routines.
And Spice Girls.
Oh, see, you're younger than I am.
So young.
Yeah, sorry.
I was doing Kodachrome by Paul Simon, and I worked out this whole routine with my friend Holly. And then when it came time to perform it, right the day before, her mother forbade her to perform it because it has the word crap in it.
Oh no.
And her mother forbade her to say it.
So really
you could have, did you think maybe just to change the word, or you don't want to compromise your art? Yeah, that.
It was that.
Oh, Giselle.
I didn't want to compromise my art. But I remember then I was in some children's theater production. I might have shared this, I forget when, but I was in some children's theater production of The Ant and the Grasshopper, and I played the butterfly, and I had these long, beautiful wings made out of parachute material, and they extended from fishing poles that I held in my hand, these big, huge wings. And I went out to do my little solo number and sing this delicate little song about being a butterfly, and my wing got tangled. So the whole time I'm trying to shake free my wing, and it's just getting worse and worse.
People are thinking, this is magnificent.
They're laughing and laughing.
They're laughing.
I would think in my head.
What timing she has. How could it possibly be stuck this long?
So this what make you think to be a comedic actress? I think it is.
So you enjoy. So when the laughter came, you liked the laughter.
I think I did.
Yeah. Mm.
That's cool.
So did you start were you actually unstuck sooner than you let on?
I don't think I was that sophisticated yet.
But you kept going. You persevered.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's on the list of arts education.
Yeah.
Perseverance.
I would think in my head the whole time, my goodness, that child has good tricep strength. Holding up fishing poles with all that material on it. But that's maybe just how my brain works.
That's how your brain. That's how what you would want to be complimented for. You're so physically strong.
No, I just I'm thinking about how heavy it would be to hold up big wings by fishing poles, and I'd
be
like, yeah, I'd be worried. I'd be like, oh fuck, this is too hard for my tricep.
I think at the time I was
going to have to give her some acupuncture.
I would just be the whole time resenting that I wasn't one of the title characters.
Yeah.
Like why
am I not the grasshopper or the
the other thing, celery?
The ant.
The ant and the grasshopper. Those were the popular kids.
Celery was, yeah.
Grasshopper and celery.
The ant and the grasshopper. I think I was lucky. I felt lucky to get the butterfly. Although I was more less uncomfortable about the wings than about the pink leotard and pink tights.
Sure.
You know?
Is that what, like, I picture, like, the director of the show saying, look, you're lucky to get the butterfly. Okay?
Yeah. So shut your mouth.
Shut your mouth, okay? There's some kid. That kid over there is a celery. Yeah. Celery stick, okay?
Celery in a show you about bugs.
The celery's not even a character in this play, and that kid's the celery, okay? And you have a role, so why don't you just quit your bawling?
You really put it in perspective now.
Oh, thanks. Yeah.
Okay, that's good.
Well, you know, it's funny. I was thinking about the... I, of course, believe that more art education is incredibly important. My daughter is going to art high school in Los Angeles. She's going to Los Angeles.
Does she have homework?
Yeah.
Is it artisanal confetti?
Here's the deal. Fucking gym class has homework. PE has homework.
That's how I almost didn't graduate middle school. It was because of gym class homework.
Is it not the most asinine thing? First of all, I mean, in any situation, it would be asinine. But the fact that these kids, they go to school from 8 in the morning till 4 in the afternoon, and the reason they have to do that is because they go from 8 to lunch, just academics, and then after lunch, they go till 4 with all art classes. They have like 4 art classes because it's an art school. And so on top of that, this PET, I haven't met this PE teacher
what
yet.
What is the homework?
Well, it's going to be, you know, who knows?
Like, the square, it's like CPR stuff and like health.
The square root of a sit-up.
It's not like...
sit-up, exactly.
It's not like useless information, but it's also like...
I mean, come on. Like we have the PE there because we want to make sure that you're not sedentary and make sure that you're you know, getting your heart rate up or whatever.
Oh, is it that they don't do it at school, so they have to do it at home?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Really?
I think so. I think they're going to have things that they have to write at home and bring in.
You think that they would just let them do like dance classes and
writing's
be done with it?
Writing's not PE.
That's what I'm just listen. You're
no, they should take a walk around the block and bring it in.
You were. Exactly.
Measure their steps with their phones and
prove
it.
Yeah, they like bring in their Fitbit and see what they do.
But what I was going to say was the thought that I have is that although I would be perfectly happy to have all art schools, the fact is I can already see that because this school is full, like we've been used to this kind of bureaucracy of you know, the educational system, you know, thus far, and of all the negative things you can say about the bureaucracy, the one thing that's good is that, like, every email I get from this art school is like the date is always wrong. It's always like, you know, there's huge chunks of information missing, and it's just sort of you like you figure there's like these they're all there like finger painting or stuff while they're, you know, writing these emails or something. It's so there is something to be
said. I thought you were going to say every email. Well, they may have missing all this stuff, but they have little hearts drawn on.
That's basically it. That's basically it. Yeah, that's where their priorities are. That's exactly right.
Color coordinated.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see what your daughter make in school. I've seen some of her artwork. She's really good.
Oh, thanks.
Plus,
thanks,
I like her.
Yeah, she's pretty great.
She's a nice lady.
She is pretty great.
I'm going to switch gears.
Uh-oh.
Speaking of arts education... Jackie, you want to tell us your story or you want to wait a little bit?
I
want to
wait till I'm done chewing this carrot.
Oh, yeah. <That's
right. laughs> It's okay. We can wait. Let's just watch him.
Okay.
Yeah.
He have a beard, so there's lots of facial hairs to watch while
he's
chew.
Keeping his mouth closed.
Each
he's
one
being very...
going a different direction.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. Oh, now he put a new one in. Now he's going to put a new one in.
Oh,
Jake
Keith, you took another bite.
Put it right there.
Use it as a prop while you talk.
For sakes, we were waiting.
But, you know, on the Nooner podcast, the other podcast, what I do with Marty... we get a complaint, an email saying, please, please don't chew into the microphone. So now I'm... John is being so nice. He's leaning way over to finish chewing.
I mean, I'm so used to that. I'm so used to being, like, in trouble. Like, I've spent my whole life in trouble.
Oh.
So, like, I go to eat and... And like it's funny to me, like one person and whatever they have every right to sort of say that it bothers them and we have every right to respond to it. But I think it's funny that sort of like one person said don't eat on the microphone, and so the whole it's like one guy puts an explosives in his shoes, and the whole world has to take their shoes off when they get on the plane, kind of thing. You know?
Yeah,
so you're comparing yourself to a terrorist
in a way.
Okay.
Yeah.
Dick is not.
You saying I'm wrong?
I'm afraid.
Good. Then my work is done here. God is good.
Dick Keith.
Yes.
I understand you have brought with us a story today.
Yes.
I'm excited to hear it.
Well, let's tamp down those expectations. but thank you. This is in honor of our German friend here.
That's me.
Yes. And here we go. A great way to keep a trip interesting and often less expensive is to book an open jaw ticket, where you arrive in one city but return from another. On this trip, arriving in Berlin and departing from Amsterdam meant I got to explore more of the region without having to be tethered to one spot. If Berlin ended up being less appealing than I'd hoped, I could cut that visit short and spend more time in my ancestral homeland of Holland. Whatever the case, it also meant that I had to get from Berlin to Amsterdam. I arrived in Berlin without such a plan, but figured my experience would dictate my itinerary, and crossing the approximately 360 miles between European capitals, seemingly on a whim, would be one of those things that makes me feel like the cosmopolitan world traveler my Facebook friends perceive me to be. Berlin was, in fact, amazing. Any place that celebrates beer and sausage as much as art and design is A-OK by me. I met up with my Los Angeles-based friend Christina, and we were shown around by her expat friends, who recommended everything from the best swap meets to the best places to see a giant video game joystick to a display of Helmut Lang socks. I'm not kidding about either of those things. Surely they could recommend a route to Amsterdam. Despite the short distance and the straight line across Germany's collarbone, options were limited. Plane tickets had gotten expensive. It turns out you save money when you book more than 48 hours in advance. And a rental car required exorbitant fees for a one-way trip crossing borders. That left the train, which would allow us to stop in the German countryside. As much as I love big city life, Berlin had yet to show me a single tiny cottage, adorable town square, or even one functioning dirndl. I consulted my German travel guide and was amazed to see that Rick Steves hadn't listed a single town in this part of the country. Christina's friends didn't have much to recommend either. What I'd thought was a common land route between big, exciting cities was in fact the cultural equivalent of driving between Las Vegas and Phoenix. They did mention a small college town named Munster that could be a nice place to stop, and in checking the train map and schedule, it turned out we could be in Munster by dinner time, stay overnight, and leave after lunch the next day. How delightful. I booked our tickets on the German Rail website, and soon we were headed west across the land that Rick Steves forgot. For reasons that will be explained in another essay, we missed one of our connections and had to take the final leg on a bus that pulled into the parking lot of the Munster train station around 10:30 p.m. Christina and I disembarked, expecting to see a line of taxis in front of the station, just like in the photo on the German Rail website. Instead, nothing. The town was dark and quiet, and we entered the only establishment with a light on, a tavern next to the bus stop, an authentic German beer garden. How delightful! Inside, we found no such mirth. All music seemed to stop as the regulars swiveled to stare at us, but I bravely bellied up to the bar for a beer amidst what I sensed was a conspiracy of murmurs. Soon, one of the gentleman barflies was elected spokesman and asked us in broken English, "What are you doing here?" The tone was not unwelcoming, just confused. "Why, we're on our way from Berlin to Amsterdam. We wanted to stop. We heard Munster was a nice place." "Really?" he asked incredulously. "Someone told you to come to Munster?" "Yes, can you recommend a hotel for tonight?" The man turned to his brethren to translate my query and was met with laughter and disbelief. It was as if they'd never seen a suitcase before. They couldn't understand why we would want to visit this town, and on purpose. They were the most modest patriots I'd ever encountered. Ultimately, the kindness of strangers took hold. Buying a round of Spaten was key to my diplomacy. And between the patrons, the beer maiden, and the bartender, calls were placed, lodging was secured, and a summoned taxi awaited us outside.
Aww.
5 minutes worth of taxi later, we pulled up to another pub where we were met by a hostess who looked like she'd been summoned from sleep by a late-night phone call from the train station tavern, which it turns out she had. She walked us upstairs to a modest room in which we gladly collapsed, happy to be laying down and indoors. The next morning over breakfast downstairs, Christina and I went through the travel pamphlets from our room. Strange, I thought. I read on the German Rail website that this town had a Picasso museum. How weird that it wouldn't be listed on this guide. And the photos on the German Rail website showed taller buildings than the one I could see in this square. And where are all the university students on bicycles I was promised by Christina's Berlin friends? Hmm. The thought snowballed quickly. This map doesn't look like the map I saw on the German Rail site. This town has a Panzer tank museum? It's like this is a different town entirely. Wouldn't that be crazy if... Oh, no. Oh, yes. We had gone to the wrong Munster. It turns out punctuation matters. In German, for instance, they have an adorable little accent mark called the umlaut, and apparently it does more than make metal rock bands look cool. It actually changes the meaning of a word. For example, Munster is different than Münster. That's M-U, no umlaut, N-S-T-E-R, and M-U, umlaut, N-S-T-E-R. Very different, like 170 miles apart different. There's a town called Munster that's located between Berlin and Amsterdam and available via train. There's a town called Münster that's located between Berlin and Amsterdam and available via train. Sometimes called Münster, though no relation to the cheese. Anyone who speaks German would know that these are different words and places, but sadly Mr. Cheapo Tourist here did not. Fortunately, I'm able to laugh at my misfortune, and as Christine and I walked through the town to its gift shop slash tourist office, I was very aware that I was in the midst of one of those things that makes me feel like the ridiculous world traveler I seem to be on Facebook. "Hello, can I help you?" asked the middle-aged woman behind the counter of postcards and teddy bears. "Yes, where are we?" She didn't even have to swivel her chair to produce for us an atlas, open to a dog-eared page with a map of the region. The line between Munster and Münster had been demonstrated to wayward tourists so often that the faded mark looked like a superhighway between the two towns. I have to admit, I felt relieved that Christine and I weren't the first to make this mistake and wouldn't be the last. I didn't wish anyone ill on their travels, but it's nice to know we're all part of the human condition. By lunchtime, we were back at the train station, and in my hands was what looked like something impossible. A train ticket going from Munster to Münster. Okay, actually to Münster, but what's an umlaut between friends?
Yeah, very nice. Yay!
Very nice. Oh, very nice. Oh, my goodness. Well, the same thing have happened to me.
Oh, really? Yeah. I wouldn't have expected that because of your impeccable German heritage.
You would think. But
what happened?
I got completely confused and turned around and I wasn't paying attention and end up in the whole wrong place.
Same two towns?
Yeah.
Really?
It's uncanny.
It's an uncanny coincidence.
Uncanny coincidence.
I really should have consulted you before I took my trip.
Well, you know something? I like the idea that you are Mr. Cheapo Tourist.
Yes.
How do that manifest?
How do that manifest? Well, I love to travel, and I don't like to spend a lot of money, and so I like to look for little travel hacks and deals and things that let me...
I go to Munster instead of Münster.
Yeah, well, if I had planned more in advance, if I had maybe talked to somebody at the train station instead, but I was like, well, I could save €3 by booking it online instead of going to the person there. So, you know, I'm going to do that, of course.
Just be careful you don't go to Auckland when you want to go to Auckland.
Yes. I've
the little bit of a big difference.
That probably that has to be the biggest difference between similarly named towns.
Yeah. And also, I noticed you say you had yet to see a functioning dirndl.
Yes.
Do you know what it is?
I believe. Isn't that the garment that the ladies wear?
Yeah, but if they're all unfunctioning, what is it, a bunch of half-dressed ladies? I can't get my dress to function.
Oh, well, that's a whole other fantasy trip I want to take. I just meant that I was expecting that it was going to be, you know, Oktoberfest every place, even though it was December. But it was not the case.
Well, if you had warned them more than 48 hours ahead of time, they might have been able to prepare.
Again, lesson learned. Lesson learned. Yeah. But then I wouldn't have had this adventure in the
story.
True.
Beautiful That's true. Story.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a little bit of a big break, a little break. First, I want to shout out to the people who is listening. Hello, we've heard from Adrian. She's playing Yahtzee mit friends, she Ooh. Say, and listening to the show. Hello, hello.
Hello, hello.
And also, Peter WG, who we know from Nooner, he say, you know, this is just like the Nooner podcast, but with no Marty. We was hoping Marty could be with us too, but he have a party to go to, a Marty party. Also, Peter WG say he prefer it when John Pirocello is on mic.
Yeah, that's very nice. So thank you, Peter.
We have a little.
I think it's because then I'm talking less. I think is what I
You can tweet to us at the Giselle Show, hashtag the Giselle Show. The show is on iTunes and Stitcher. Just search for the Giselle Show podcast. You can find everything you want to find at our website podcast.thegiselleshow.com. You're listening to the Giselle Show podcast, Meet Friends, and we will be right